This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. In the U.S. today, reproductive and fertility problems appear to be on the rise, and there is increasing concern that environmental contaminants may be harming the reproductive health and fertility of women and men. But a new study has shed some light on a surprising new source for fertility problems. And here with more on this is Dr. Renee Mestad, Assistant Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and Dr. Kazim Chohan, Professor of Pathology, Obstetrics, and Gynecology, and the Director of the Andrology Lab at Upstate Medical University. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate
your
being here. So Dr. Chohan, let me start with you. You recently completed a study that was looking at sexual lubricants with some surprising results. Can you tell us about it?
Well, this study started interestingly with a few students who are rotating through my lab, as you said, andrology lab. We diagnosed patients with fertility problems there, and one of the patients asked for a lubricant, and the student asked, is this lubricant sperm friendly? That initiated the study, and then we completed a study on all possible lubricants we could study.
So your goal, just to interrupt you, your goal was to take a look at sexual lubricants to see if they were potentially sperm friendly or potentially sperm harming.
You are absolutely right. And we studied all these commercial lubricants available at different stores, and including like Preseed, Astroglide, KY lubricants, and we also
those are the commercial names.
Yes.
Preseed, Astroglide, and any of those commercial
KY products, like KY warming, KY tingling. These are player boosting sexual lubricants, and we also studied few common oils, maybe which are available in your pantry.
So household products.
Household products
that are oils that could be used. Yeah. Give me some examples.
We looked at their impact on sperm motility.
On how the sperm can swim, how actively they can function.
And interestingly, what we found that all these commercial coital lubricants, except Preseed, they were all spermicidal.
Wow.
And like KY products, like warming and tingling, they just kill sperm on contact.
Wow.
So if a couple is using them for coital lubricant, the possibility are they may not conceive.
Wow.
So these are like spermicidal lubricants.
Dr. Mestad, tell me when and how. I mean, obviously for just common usage, someone might choose to use a sexual lubricant during sexual intercourse or activity. But there are specific times that people are using it even during an attempt to get pregnant.
Yes. Sexual lubricants are actually pretty commonly used. Most women find that they have about 5 minutes worth of self-lubrication, so if they're going to have intercourse for any time longer than that, they're going to find it's actually painful and very uncomfortable, which dissuades them from wanting to have sex in the first place. Additionally, there are some women who are having difficulty conceiving who part of the reason they're having difficulty is their fluid balances aren't correct. They aren't normal. And so therefore, their cervical mucus and other fluids inside their vagina that help to move sperm up into the uterus don't work as well either.
So do they also experience more vaginal dryness, for example?
Exactly. Because this affects their own self-lubrication. And so they will use store-bought lubricants to help make sex not be quite as painful.
And also, are there other examples of when these are used during certain kinds of fertility, either fertility treatments or, you know, exploration of what the fertility issues might be?
Additionally, men will use them when they're producing a semen sample to either be used for study to see whether or not their sperm work well, or to give the sample for other treatments like intrauterine insemination or in vitro fertilization.
Are they also used, for example, to help with the insertion of certain medical devices and that kind of thing?
Yes, they are. Speculums are very uncomfortable for a lot of women, and so various lubricants are utilized by the physician to insert the speculum.
It's striking to me, though, Dr. Chohan, that you would think that these lubricants that are marketed would have been tested for this very thing. And it sounds to me like you were the first study to really look at this, the potential spermicidal characteristics. Is that true?
That's not true, actually. A few other studies have been published on the same area, but we are the first one to study the impact of these KY-sensitive warming and tingling. Every day, new products are introduced into the market. So my feeling is in future, you are going to see more studies on the same aspect. Few more researchers will study like future lubricants on that. But we also added some like common oils in that. And to
what common oils
like
we mentioned?
Like canola oil, baby oil, sesame oil, and mustard oil. Some of may look very strange to you, but we found out that these coital lubricants were sperm friendly, like canola oil, baby oil were sperm friendly. The sperm motility remained the same almost over 1 hour compared to the control. And to our interest, mustard oil gave us really good results. It enhanced the sperm motility, and this needs to be studied further if there is any positive impact of mustard oil on that.
That's kind of a striking result, because to actually find something that would enhance the motility of sperm, that's a commonly occurring, you know, non-manufactured product, would seem so simple and yet could possibly have striking and dramatic results. What do you think about that, Dr. Mystic?
I think it's very interesting and very exciting. Kind of hope that Dr. Chohan's going to pursue this, or someone in his lab will, because it will make a big difference for a lot of our patients. Additionally, you know, many women and couples have these oils in their pantries. What they do need to understand is they only need a small amount. The advantage to oil-based lubricants is that they do last much longer, don't tend to evaporate the way the water-based lubricants do. They also can be a little bit messy, but women just need a small amount, or men just need to use a very small amount.
Would the hope be, I know that mustard oil currently, in its current form for food as a food additive, or as you have mentioned, in India and Pakistan, it's used as a general skin lubricant.
Yes.
But it has a certain odor attached to it. So would you hope that this could be purified and used?
Absolutely. If we find good results with that, maybe in future some sperm wash mediums and all that, it may be used to like enhance the sperm motility in patients who are having poor motility. We don't know, but we are going to pursue this because it showed us interesting results. And it opens up some channels on the sperm, which activates them, and it keeps them moving. So that's an interest for us, and we are going to continue our study on that.
If you're just listening to us and joining us, this is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, here with Drs. Chohan and Mestad, and we're talking about the potential negative effects of certain sexual lubricants on fertility. I think it's important to note here, though, that even though some of these might slow down a sperm or make it less active, you wouldn't recommend any of these to be used as a primary source for preventing conception.
Correct. Yes, now that we have said all of this, that various lubricants can impede the activity of sperm, couples should not use things like Astroglide or KY jelly, assuming that they will keep them from getting pregnant. They do need to use an additional method of contraception.
So that's obviously not sufficient, or hasn't been proved to really prevent fertility.
Yes.
What it does is clearly, if you're having other fertility issues, it can add to or complicate the whole process. Tell us how you decided to use the various things that you did. I mean, in terms of studying this process.
Well, it started, as I previously told you, it started in an interesting way that I had a student, one from India. He wanted to study oils from his part of the world. Then I have a Chinese student. He came up, he said, Dr. Chohan, I want to study sesame oil, which we use for in China.
So your student from India decided to do mustard seed oil.
And the Chinese wanted to add sesame oil in that. And we looked like a couple of other lubricants too, shea butter and all that. But we ended up with few of them, which are commonly used. And that was exciting for us to complete this study.
Exactly what did you do? Just very briefly, give us an overview of how you achieved these results.
Well, we aliquoted the wash sperm, and we made our control as a human tubal fluid, which is exactly the human tubal fluid we're having.
So
the
you got human sperm.
Yes, we washed them in human tubal fluid, which is exactly the same, having the same basic salts and everything like a female will have in her fallopian tubes. That was our control. Then we introduced these quieter lubricants into sperm and human tubal fluid with 10% consistency, which is we calculated that this is the consistency a female will have during an intercourse. And we incubated them over 1 hour period of time. And we checked motility before we started the experiment, then just on contact in 5 minutes, then at 30 minutes, and then at 60-minute interval.
So how did the mustard seed oil stack up? I mean, did it last for the full 60 minutes?
We ended the study at 60 minutes, but we continued to watch them over four-hour period of time, and the sperm were consistently hyperactive.
Wow.
And we want to do more studies on that. It's interesting results for us.
It sounds like a very key element of your study to find out, especially with so much infertility. What are some of the other things, Dr. Mestad, that can actually cause infertility in terms of environmental types of things or health types of things?
So when a woman decides that she wants to get pregnant, one of the first things she needs to do is, if she's a smoker, stop smoking. Smoking has been demonstrated repeatedly to interfere with ovulation, with the fallopian tube, ability for the egg to move through the fallopian tube to meet the sperm. It affects implantation. It increases the risk of miscarriage and subsequently can also increase the risk of preterm delivery, growth restriction, which means that the baby is small, and a smaller baby is a weaker baby. So it's very, very important that the woman stop smoking before she becomes pregnant. Waiting until she finds out she is pregnant is too late. Additionally, she needs to start prenatal vitamins as soon as she decides she's pregnant, not when she finds out she's pregnant. The folic acid in prenatal vitamins helps to prevent various birth defects, and it does its most work in the first 4 to 6 weeks of pregnancy. Most women don't find out they're pregnant until as soon as 6 to 8 weeks. So they've lost that window to prevent a lot of birth defects.
So if you're actually engaged in family planning and you think and you're attempting actively to become pregnant, these are some of the steps.
Exactly.
What other things do you find, though, that could be a hazard to fertility?
Common medications like nonsteroidals, like Motrin, Advil, ibuprofen, Aleve, those kind of medications. Additionally, antihistamines and allergy medications.
Really?
Claritins, Benadryls. Medications like that, decongestants, your Sudafeds, therefore your cold and flu medications can also affect.
So what's the takeaway if you're saying to someone out there who's thinking about getting pregnant, what should they do or not do?
They need to talk to their doctor, particularly if they have other health problems and are taking other medications for health conditions that can interfere with pregnancy as well. They need to talk to their doctor. They need to plan their pregnancy.
Well, this is very interesting information. Thank you so much for coming in. My guests have been Dr. Renee Mestad, who is the Associate Assistant Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and Dr. Kazim Chohan, Professor of Pathology, Obstetrics, and Gynecology, and the Director of the Andrology Lab at Upstate Medical University. Thanks so much. Very important work. I hope you find out more about mustard seed oil.
Thank
I'm
you.
Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.